Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Keith, for leading us in praise and worship of our risen Savior this morning. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, and I hope you do, if you don't, there's a Bible there in the pew in front of you. Turn with me to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 5 and begin to see the story of Ruth unfold and see the beginning of the story. And as we make the way, we'll see the rest of the story in chapters 2, 3, and 4. And in many ways, the book of Ruth is divided up in like acts, right? So you think about a play, right? Or like a Broadway play or something like that. You got act 1, act 2, act 3, act 4, however it may be. And then in those acts, you got different scenes that are taking place. And essentially what we're looking at today is act 1, scene 1. Does that make sense? And we're going to see this all happen here. And so the Word of God says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died. So that the woman was left with her two sons and her husband." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come to your word this morning and we come to this story, Lord. Tragic story, Lord. God, we just pray that you just help us to understand what you're trying to teach us here, Lord. That you help us to know and live out what you want us to live out through what your word is teaching us here today. And so God, this morning, we pray that you just open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our ears, Lord, to be able to see, hear, know, and understand all that your word is teaching us today, Lord. And God, I just pray that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion this morning, and preach nothing but your word and your word alone, Lord. God, this morning as we look at and see that you have given us a purpose and you called us to live in your presence, Lord, Lord, God, I just pray that we're able to see that today and that in return we live that out. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and Him dying on the cross for our sins and our salvation. And God, I just pray for one here this morning that's never believed in you, Lord, never made you king of their heart, Lord, that today is the day that they do that, that they believe in you and repent of their sins and trust you as Savior of their life. So God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As a Christian, God has called you. As a Christian, God has called you. This first calling comes in salvation, right? The salvation of our souls. We see all over the New Testament of God calling believers to salvation. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "But we ought to always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth." And then in verse 14, He says, "To this He called you through the gospel, through our gospel, so you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus." We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, something very similar. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who" what? "Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This is only three out of several other passages in which we see that God has called us to salvation, that God has called us to Himself, that God has called us to live for Him and for His glory. But unfortunately, so often we forget this calling, don't we? We forget that it was first the Lord who called us to Himself, and we begin to live differently. You see, when we live our lives remembering that God has called us to Himself, we remember the gospel of Jesus. We remember why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We remember that our lives are to be lived not for ourselves, but rather for the purposes of God, and to live in His presence. Church, we are not just called to salvation. We are called to live with God's purposes in mind, and we are called to live in His presence. And today in our sermon, we're going to see a family abandon God's purpose for their life and leave God's presence. And through this, we're going to see how we as Christians are called to live in His purpose, right? And live in His presence. So therefore, in our sermon today, we're going to see two dimensions of God's calling. I know it says three. I forgot to delete the number three and put a two in there. So there's only two dimensions of God's calling that we're going to be looking at today. But the first dimension, as you probably already guessed, God has called us to live in His purposes. I got a typo there. God has called us, not us, has us, or God calls us to live in His purposes. The book of Ruth begins by giving us a time in history, doesn't it? A rebellious and sinful time, as it says, in the days when the judges ruled. In those days when the judges ruled. Throughout the book of Judges, we read this phrase, particularly this one right here: "In those days when there was no king of Israel, everyone did what was right in their own eyes." This verse is repeated over and over and over throughout the book of Judges, letting us know that in those days, everyone did what was right in their eyes. These people living in sinful rebellion against God, they were doing what they thought was right instead of what God demanded was right. I think this should teach us something about ourselves here, doesn't it? The fall of Adam, sin, has tainted our view of right. Sin has tainted our view of what is good and right. And because of this, when we don't have the God who is righteous and holy and has given us the truth, we do what is right in our own eyes. We live in rebellion. We don't do what is right and good. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 teaches that the heart is deceitful above all things. Our hearts don't know what is right and good because of sin, because of the fall of Adam. So when we do what is right in our own eyes, it's probably not going to be good. And unfortunately, this sin-filled world has demonstrated that this past week, hasn't it? But you know what, church? As deceitful as our hearts are, they can be changed. right? Praise the Lord for that. Our hearts can be changed when God calls us and we believe in Him. He takes out the old heart. He performs heart surgery and gives us a new heart. And it is on this heart that, as Jeremiah 31:33 says, God will put His law within us and will write His law on our hearts. And we know from the New Testament that as believers, we have God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us, right? Convicting us. And because of this, we can know the truth. We can know right from wrong. God has written what is right and good on our hearts. God, as the Holy Spirit, convicts us from within and teaches us what is good and right. And as Christians, we have to remember that because we still live in a fallen world, our view of right is still a little bit tainted by sin. And we must, absolutely must, look to God's Holy Word. Rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us and to show us what is right and what is wrong. And when we rely on His Word and when we rely on the Spirit, we will do what is right, not in our eyes, but in God's eyes. Take a moment just to ask you, do you live your life doing what is right in your own eyes? Or do you live your life doing what is right in God's eyes? When you make decisions about your future or about things that are happening, do you consult the Lord? Do you consult God's Word? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and guidance and to lead you? Or do you just rely on yourself? When someone wrongs you, do you respond how you think you should respond? Right? Isn't that what we all do sometimes? The person cuts us off driving down the road, and the first thing we want to do is respond in the way we want to respond, right? When you come to two paths in your life, which path do you choose to go? When you are alone and by yourself, do you do what you want or do you live God's way? This is a question we should ask ourselves every time a situation arises. Is what I'm doing right in my eyes or God's eyes? And what will happen is when you begin to seek that out and begin to live seeking out God and what's right with Him, we will live in God's purposes. You will live unlike the people of Israel in the days of the judges. In Exodus, God had told them what was right, right? He gave them the law. He gave them all the commands. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 18 and 38 through 40, we read that if they did what God had commanded them to do, they would be blessed. But if they did not do what God had commanded, they would be what? Cursed. And in the days of the judges, when they did what was right in their own eyes, they were what? Cursed. What were they cursed with? We see here in verse 1, right? A famine in the land. The people of Israel were not doing what God had purposed in their lives, so He cursed them with a famine. And what is ironic about all this is the word Bethlehem. Does anybody know what the word Bethlehem means? House of bread. The very place of provision and food became a place of scarcity due to the rebellion of the Israelites. And it's right here in this famine-stricken time that Elimelech chooses to do something. You can imagine the conversations that he may be having with his wife, Naomi, right? Wondering how they're going to eat. How are we going to feed our two boys that are growing and eating us out of the house, right? How are we going to provide for ourselves when there's no food that's growing to be able to sell? What should we do? Should we stay here and wait this out and trust that God is going to provide for us soon? Or should we leave this land that God has given us and commanded us to live? Or go to another? As we all know, Elimelech takes his family of four, and they sojourn to the country of Moab. Now this word sojourn literally means that you are just passing through, right? You ever been on a journey? You go somewhere and what do? You come back. Does that make sense? You go on a trip and you come back. There for a time and then gone. It seems as if the expectation that Elimelech had was only to be there for a season, but that isn't what happened, is it? We see in verse 4 that they were there for at least 10 years. Not sure how long they've been there, how long they were there, but we know at least 10 years before Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem. This was no sojourn. Moab became their new home. Now I want to talk a little bit about Bethlehem for a second, right? Bethlehem is located in the land of Canaan. Bethlehem is in the promised land, the land in which Joshua had led them into, the land in which God had given them as a place of rest, right? The land full, flowing of milk and honey, the land full of great food and provision, the land that was supposed to be a house of bread. Canaan was the purposed land in which Israel was supposed to live. But Elimelech, he did what was right in his own eyes. And he takes his family to Moab. He was called and purposed to live in Bethlehem. But he didn't do what God had purposed. He went to Moab. Of all the places he could have gone, he went to Moab, right? Now Moab was not a good place. Not a very good place at all. The king Balak, at some point in the past, had hired Balaam to curse Israel. Maybe you remember that story, right? Their women had seduced them and caused them to worship false gods in the wilderness. Moab had oppressed Israel. Moab was not God's purposed land for Elimelech and his family. But yet, he took his family there. His two sons would then marry Moabite women, which they were not supposed to do either, right? It was a command that Israelites were not to marry outside of Israel, right? Church, sometimes we are just like Elimelech and the two sons, ain't we? We let our circumstances and we let our situations dictate what we should do. Has that ever happened to you? We find ourselves in a circumstance, we find ourselves in a situation where we begin to do what feels like our situation is forcing us to do, or our circumstance is forcing us to do. For Elimelech, it felt like he was forced to go to somewhere else to get food and provide for his family. This famine forced him to leave. For his sons, it was like, well, we're here in Moab. Where else am I going to find a lady? Where else am I going to find a wife? Don't look like we're going back to Israel anytime soon. I'm ready to get married. Right? It felt like the circumstance for his two sons were saying, I've got to marry Moabite women. For you, it might be people that annoy you, push you over the limits, right? For you, it might be someone who wrongs you. It might be your spouse forgot to do the dishes or put the laundry in the washing machine. It might be your coworkers or your boss. It might be the finances that you're struggling with this month. It might be the stress that you have on your life. There's a million things that can happen in our lives that puts pressure on us, right? And when that pressure gets put on us, sometimes we feel like that pressure forces us to respond in a certain way. And when we do that without consulting the Lord, without consulting God, we might end up doing what He has not purposed for us. We must realize that God has a purpose for us in our lives, and we must not ever let our circumstances dictate what we should do with our lives, but rather we seek out God's purpose for our lives in those circumstances, in those situations, and we live in obedience. It was God's purpose for Elimelech to stay in Bethlehem. It was God's purpose for the two sons to marry Israelite women. Church, God has a purpose for us in our lives. He has called us and He's commanded us to live out that purpose. He has called us first to salvation, but secondarily, He has called us to live in obedience to His commands. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. Or all your mind, rather. To love your neighbor as yourself. To go, therefore, and be an ambassador, preaching and teaching the gospel to people, making disciples. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, I'll put it up there for you, for we are His workmanship. What's our purpose? To work for the Lord, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for you beforehand, that we should walk in them. Church, God has called you to live in His purpose, to work and live for Him, to walk in what He has called us to. And so I just encourage you right now to take a moment today, this evening, this week, and just ask the Lord, God, what have You called me to? What is Your purpose for my life? Now, the ultimate purpose is, as we say in our mission statement over and over and over every week, right? We exist to glorify who? God, right? How do we glorify God? By living out what He has called us to do. So, church, I just encourage you so much to seek out God's purpose for your life and begin walking in it. And as you walk, live with His presence. This leads us to our second dimension. God has called us, supposed to be presence there, but it's not. Man, what is going on here? The second dimension is God has called us to live in His presence. You have it on your bulletin there. We don't need technology. We got bulletins, okay? All right. There you go. You see in your bulletin, God has called us to live with His presence. Earlier I mentioned that the place in which Israel is residing, living, Canaan and Bethlehem, are God's purpose land for them. This was the land in which they were to live and have rest in. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, God was present with them. And He was present with them as His glory and Spirit resided in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. After Joshua had led the Israelites into Canaan, right? They're now into Canaan. They've overcome Canaan. We read in Joshua 18 that the tabernacle was assembled at Shiloh. And if I'm correct, it stayed there until 1 Samuel chapter 4 when the Philistines took it over. God's presence was with the Israelites in Canaan, in the promised land of rest. He was in the Holy of Holies, residing there with the people of Israel. And it was right there with Elimelech and his family that God's presence was with them. And as we've already discussed and talked about, what does this family do? They leave the presence of God. And they go to Moab, a place with no presence of God. Now I want to be careful here because we do believe that God is omnipresent, right? That God transcends all space. He is everywhere. There isn't a place in which God is not. Okay? He's everywhere. But that's not the presence we're talking about here. We're talking about this intimate, personal presence of God, as with the tabernacle and as with us now as believers, with the Holy Spirit residing in us. I don't know about you, but if the God of the universe is present with me in this location, I don't think I would be leaving or going somewhere else. I say that, right? I would hope I'm not leaving and going somewhere else. I hope I'm not abandoning the presence of God. But church, even though we have the presence of God within us by His Spirit, we too, like Elimelech, abandon the very place of God's presence sometimes. I'm not sure if God's still present here. There's a famine. If God was here, there wouldn't be no famine, right? How many of you have gone famine in your own lives, experienced that, and maybe have thought that? I'm not sure God is still present here with me. I just lost my job. My spouse passed away. I'm not sure God's still present with me. You see where I'm going with this, church? Just as often as we let our circumstances dictate what we do, we often let our circumstances dictate whether we believe God is present with us or not. We let it dictate whether we want to leave the very presence of God. And Elimelech let his circumstances of a famine dictate him leaving the very presence of God. Church, don't let your circumstances cause you to leave the presence of God. Now, whether you are living in the presence of God or not is really something that you will have to determine for yourself, right? The reality is this: as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit already dwelling inside of us. We are already living in the presence of God as the Spirit is inside of us. So don't misunderstand me, right? We are in the presence of God in that His Spirit is in us. But I'm certain many of you have had times in your life where you felt the very presence of God moving among you and in your life. You felt the presence of God right there in your life, in that place of your life, because you were walking and you were living by the Spirit. You were living in God's presence. God was moving and you were moving with Him. God called and you went. God had called you to live in His presence and you lived in it by walking by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says this. There's one before that. There it is. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then in verse 25, just a few verses later, also, he gives in verse 20, 22 there, he gives us the fruit of the spirits, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? And then in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What a comfort it is to live in the presence of God. To know that you are walking in His presence. Matthew Henry, he writes that those that would have comfort in God must keep themselves in the love of God and take care to live and continually walk in His presence. Let me read it one more time. Those that would have comfort in God must keep themselves in the love of God and take care to live and walk continually in His presence. For Elimelech, if he would have just rested in the comfort of knowing that God is present with him and knowing that God's eventually going to provide for him and his family, it would have given him a sense of what? Comfort. And he wouldn't have abandoned God's presence. He wouldn't have abandoned God's purpose for his life. When we walk in the presence of God, we feel His presence and we are comforted Therefore, we trust the God of His universe to care for us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct our paths. May we always, always be found walking and living in the presence of God. Today, in our sermon, we have seen two dimensions of God's calling. God has called us to live in His purposes. And God has called us to live in His presence. I want to close by just talking about Elimelech's name. Elimelech's name means, "My God is King." The very name Elimelech had, "My God is King." And in these first several verses, what we have seen demonstrated to us is that God was not king in Elimelech's heart, was he? Elimelech is running from God's purposes and presence. Instead of continuing to trust the God, the King, in the famine, he ran from God's purpose and God's presence. In church, when we don't see God as the King of our hearts and lives, we will flee. We will run. We will let our circumstances and our situations dictate how we live. And we won't live in God's purpose for our life. And we won't live in God's presence. And sometimes when we run, it may lead to worse things. This is exactly what we see happen here in this story, right? They go to Moab. It's a family of four. Elimelech dies. The sons marry. The sons die. And as we will see next week, Naomi returns to Bethlehem as a family of one, with a daughter-in-law, Ruth. Church, the question before you today, the questions is, who is the king of your heart? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Say it a different way, right? You or God? And if you say that God is the king of your heart, are you living in His purposes and His presence? Church, you've been called to salvation. You've been purposed to live holy and obedient to whatever it is that God has called you to. And you've been given His presence through His Holy Spirit residing in you. Live in His purposes. Live in His presence. He has called you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're hearing this sermon, and you're hearing that God is supposed to be king of our hearts, and it's beginning to become revealed to you, and you're beginning to see and understand that I'm not so sure God is the king of my heart. I'm not so sure that I know what God's purpose is for my life. I'm not so sure that I've been living to glorify Him at all. And you're beginning to realize that you just don't know God as Savior. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, if that's you, to take this opportunity this morning to see God, the King, as Savior of your life. To trust and know that God, who is holy and righteous, who is far set above and apart from us, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, our mistakes, our failures, our not doing His will and His purposes. So that you can be called to salvation. So that you can have eternal life in the very presence of God Himself for all eternity in heaven. And so this morning, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, if you've never trusted Him and believed in Him and repented of your sins, I just want to encourage you today to take this moment. Believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Repent of your sins and make Jesus King of your heart. And the Bible says you will be saved. If that's you this morning and that's a decision that you would like to make, a way that you would like to respond to what Jesus has done, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you and talk about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to figure out His purpose for your life and how to live in His presence. You can do that here in just a moment as we sing our invitational song, or as you're walking out, if you uncomfortable with any of those situations, feel free to send me an email or call me or message me and say, hey, I would love to go get some tacos and talk about Jesus, okay? I'd love to go get some burgers and talk about Jesus in that way. It doesn't really matter. I don't care. I just want to have a conversation with you about what it means to follow Jesus and trust in Him, Savior and Lord of your life. Church, I pray that God is the King of your heart. You live with His purposes in mind, and you live in His presence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You right now, Lord, and we just thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and our salvation, Lord. God, as we come to the story of the book of Ruth, and as we've started it, Lord, and we talk about how Elimelech has taken his family and abandoned his purposes for Your purposes for him, Lord, and abandoned in Your presence, Lord, God, I pray that You will help us as a church, Lord, to live with Your purposes in mind, to live with Your presence. So God, we just ask Your help in that. God, we pray today that You will help us to live with You as King of our hearts. That You are our King. That we follow You, Lord, all the days of our life. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.